Good morning. I just can hardly believe that it's 2014. Mm-hmm. You know, I can remember being 6 years old, and that was a long time ago in 1952, you know. So, oh, my gosh. But it is another year. But I have a question for you I want to ask. Is it a new you or just another new year? And I want you to think about that. And how we can get to what we really desire for most of the those here. I do want to share a little something with you before we get going. I was in prayer the other day. It was on the 1st of January. And I was asking the Lord some things and just expressing, you know, how quickly time has gone by and whatever, and asking His blessing upon things. And I said, Lord, is there any word for the year ahead from You? And I waited a little bit, and this is what I received, and I want to share it with us. It is only a year to You. Time is not relevant to Me, but My mercy covers all of My children because I know it is relevant to them. The key to your success in Me is to look to Me in all things, big things, small things, in between things. The issue is often not as important as the practicing of looking to Me in it. There are somber times ahead in your world. I am greater than one country, and all people are important to Me. Not all will come to Me, and their hearts and minds will be the God that leads them to destruction. But the hearts and minds steadfast in Me shall prosper greatly, both physically and spiritually. Even though somber at times, there are times of great rejoicing and freedom ahead. Those who follow Me will not regret the many sacrifices made. It will not only be a happy new year, it will be a happy new life. Hear my statements, but add no vain imaginations. This will be a powerful year, a true year of power. And I went, whoa. That was really something. Okay, Lord, whatever, no vain imaginations. You said it. We're going to go with it and see what's happening there. Now, in light of that, we want to be that new you. And right now, all sorts of New Year's resolutions are being made at this time of year. It's usually considered for people a time of new beginnings. Some people are looking for peace, inner peace, relational peace, and some even go big and want world peace. I hate to tell you, but that's not going to happen. There's always going to be some ism somewhere spreading evil and mayhem. In the early years, there was barbarism. My own father fought against Nazism in World War II, and my brother and I were involved in fighting communism and in Vietnam, and Drew and many others were involved in fighting terrorism in Afghanistan and Iraq. I don't know about you, but if you look over history, there's always some ism. There's always someone full of evil, godless, and whatever god they're following, it isn't the God of peace that we know and the God of love that we know. It's a God of war. Wars do happen, but if you're defending, then you're good. If you're causing and oppressing and going after, I tell you, God has a place. But anyways, the point is, if you're praying for peace, that's nice, but you better get inner peace with Jesus Christ, because the outer peace isn't going to happen because of the nature of man. But rather than just a new year, a new resolution, or a new point of view, what is needed most of all is a new you. If you have a teachable spirit, then the formula for a new you can be found. Now, just for a little information here, according to the University of Scranton, which was posted in the Journal of Clinical Psychology, the top 10 resolutions of 2014 are, number one, lose weight. Hey, there you go. That's the number one resolution of 2014, lose weight. Number two, getting organized. Oh, number three, spend less and save more. Yay. Four, enjoy life to the fullest. Five, staying fit and healthy. Six, learning something exciting. Seven, quit smoking. Eight, help others. Nine, fall in love. and the number 10 of the most, excuse me, the top 10 resolutions for 2014 is to spend more time with the family.
Now,
of course, notice that no one said their resolution was to get closer to God or to crucify my flesh more. But if you really want a new you, that is what you're going to have to do. There's nothing wrong with those other goals. Absolutely nothing. They are good. They're godly. They're wonderful. They fall within the realm and the parameters of God's directions. But so many times we go the wrong way. And I'm just going to give us a little warning. Don't try and change God. He's trying to change you. Now, the formula for the new you is something that you can do, but it has to come from you. I can't give it to you. You have to have a teachable spirit. If you don't have one, ask God for one. He will absolutely answer that because that's his will. You'll get what you pray for if it's the will of God. Now, you can pray for a trip to the Caribbean. I don't know. His answer might be no to that one. I don't know. But if you ask for a teachable spirit, you'll get one. Another part of the formula for a new you is to have a continual newness in Christ. I don't know about you, but there are some people for 30 years, they're struggling with the same thing. Now, it's not a fault against them to struggle, but there should be a newness. That should be a warning sign. Now, God shows things to us, and it may take a long time to get rid of that thing. Some of the hatreds and the impatience and the angers that I've had over the years, it has taken, it has taken a long time, but I'm in that struggle. I'm aware of that struggle. I'm talking about people who just refuse to do what the counsel of God is. There has to be a newness in life. Let God grade your life, not you. Because if you do, you're going to tend to be like my students. Either they gave themselves an A on stuff that was junk, or they didn't feel good about themselves and they gave themselves a D on what was really good. So don't try and grade yourself. Have this teachable spirit. Have a continual newness in Christ, but let the Lord show you that. Don't cling to the old way. Oh my gosh, we are so filled with old habits, old responses, old thoughts, all of that. God, clean me out. Yes, I open myself to you. Just spray me clean. Get the bleach on my head. Get my thoughts clean. Get my feelings clean. Get my emotions clean. Get my responses and reactions clean, Lord. And the only way to do that is to not cling to the old ways. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. See, this is a constant. See, that word renewing in English tells us it's an ongoing thing. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You can make a change, but it's only in a continual renewing of your mind. You're going to have some private time with God. You're going to have some scripture time with God. You're going to have some prayer time with God. You're going to have some sit in the presence of God and don't talk time. Listening. God's always hearing you, but we don't hear him. Be transformed by this constant renewing of your mind. That's the effort you have to put forth. You have to seek him. You have to spend time with him. No one can do that for you. Coming Sunday for a few hours isn't going to hack it. That's why going out and eating your buffet lunch today and then never eating again until next Sunday. Well, you're not going to have a whole lot of strength, and you're not going to have a whole lot of physical health if you do that. And yet people expect spiritual health and spiritual strength when they eat once a week. It doesn't work that way. This has to be a constant renewing. It says, now look at that, of your mind. Wow, that's where it all starts. Whoa. That mind is going to eventually filter down into your heart. And then God says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. But if you only deal with the mouth, it ain't going to work. If you only deal with the heart, the stuff's already in there, it ain't going to work. You've got to stop it. The entrance point is here. Take every thought captive, because that's where it starts. Every thought captive and bring it under the anointing of Christ. Is this godly? Is this of you? Is this thought coming from you, Lord? Well, I tell you right now, the thought of choking someone is never going to come from God. The thought of cheating on your income tax is never going to come from God. The thought of smacking someone, the thought of stealing something, the thought of homosexual marriages, these thoughts are not coming from God. They are real. They are powerful. But they're not of God. I know many people are offended at that. But God is not coming against, for instance, homosexuals. He's not just targeting them. He says you shouldn't have a mistress or another partner if you're married. I mean, he covers our emotional and our sexual world. And not because he's a providential prude, but he's talking about purity. The physical communion of a man and a woman has much deeper spiritual aspects, not just physical ones. We're not going to get into that today, but I'm just saying, it's a transformed by the renewing of your mind. Our broken mind is going to come up with all sorts of very powerful thoughts. Our broken feelings are going to come up with very powerful feelings. I feel very strongly. I can't do it any other way. I was born this way. Yes, you were born in sin. Get a message. We were born broken. How we think, how we feel, and what we want are against God. Your enmity to God, he says. Your mind is enmity. That means it's hatred against. It's an enemy of. It is adverse against. Humble yourself before the mighty God. Say, God, I don't even know what's wrong in me because it's all I've ever known. But I want to be of you. Sitting in church isn't going to do it. Sitting in God's presence is going to do it. I'm not saying don't go to church. I'm just saying don't think one is going to lead to the other. Just like the old saying, sitting in church isn't going to make you a Christian any more than sitting in a garage is going to make you a car. You either are that or you're not, no matter where you are. And the last one in terms of the formula for the new you, work on increasing your attentiveness to God's presence. Now, some of the prayer time and the worship time earlier this morning indicated that, talking about an awareness of God. Let me be aware of you. We go about we don't even know we're doing it. We think of our own solutions, our own resolutions. We think of everything ourselves and we ask God later. When it all falls apart and it's a mess, then we call on God. Well, I'm just saying, why don't we back it up? The new you is going to be, let me back this up. Let me be aware of your presence. I told you one time God showed me. Years and years ago, I had a lot of difficulty in a relationship with my dad. The alcoholism, the things that were going on, he was restored from all that. He came to know the Lord before he died. He's in heaven now. So this is all past tense. But I'm just telling you, God showed me. I said, God, where were you when he was there telling me? I remember the day I was standing in my living room in front of the mantle in the fireplace. And he said to me, you, he was drinking, but he said, you're never going to make it as a nurse. That's when I was in nursing school. I said, God, where were you when he was saying those terrible things? It was during a time of my struggle. The Lord showed me that he was in the room that day. And Jesus had a hand on my shoulder so that I wouldn't go after my father and do something terrible like people do in a fit of anger. But he also showed me, and this is what broke me to pieces. As my father was speaking, Jesus had his hand on my father's cheek. Oh, God. Oh, God. You see, God saw his brokenness. God saw his motive for doing that. He never meant to. And when I was finally restored to him, he was able to say, I have always loved all of you. He never said that. I remember one day shaking him, saying, listen, even if you don't mean it, just say you love me. He never said a thing. His brokenness prevented him from coming to the fullness of what he could have been as a dad. Oh, I can remember he used to make us pray and go to church. And I mean, all sorts of things. It showed there was a semblance of godliness there. It showed there was a fertile field that God could have gotten a hold of. But God can only get in when we let him. And God had mercy on my dad and loved my dad. And the Lord showed me even when he was saying that terrible thing to me. Well, guess what that did to me? Oh, yeah, I'll show you. I'm not patting myself on the back, but I became a really pretty good nurse. So good that many of the interns and physicians I worked with over my career said, why don't you go and be a physician? Why aren't you a doctor? Well, that was back in the day when women weren't doctors, first of all. And there wasn't any money to go get it anyways. But God didn't lead me that way, but I didn't know that. But you see, what my dad said to me, God used it. As bad as it was, that hurt me and gave me kind of like some personality traits, you know, controlling and defensive and always giving excuse and trying to keep the peace and, you know, the peacemaker. Don't want anyone upset. Don't have any fights. All those things developed in me, but God's used them over the years, even though they were broken. It was a broken response to a broken response, but God still used it. And he eventually made me clean and eventually made my dad clean. And now those powerful things that were in us are now used for his glory. I go, wow. That old devil only thinks he's winning. But if you don't come to Jesus Christ, he will have won. You will die in your brokenness. And then you'll go to hell because you're stained. It has nothing to do with your actions and behaviors. God's not offended with your sin because he knows you're broken. He knows you're handicapped from your birth because of what Adam did. But you are cured of that sin and that sin nature because of what Jesus did. Can we ever grasp that?
Amen.
And in John, some scriptures we have here, John 14, just to let you know, I'm not telling you this stuff from my own idea. It's what God has given us. Some people mock and scoff at the scriptures, but God himself said, the gospel is foolishness to those that are perishing. Whoa! What a message. And you know something? Some of those people are never going to change. They are going to perish. And they're going to face that living God. And they're going to know that their demise and being away from his presence is because of their own stubbornness and pride. Because God will give everyone, even the mockers of him, he will love them, he will call them, he will woo them. He'll talk to them through their coworkers, their grandparents, their parents, friends, people on TV, the radio, someone in a bank line, if they continue to refuse. So it's not your sin and your activity and your behavior. It's the dirt that's on you. That is a stain. Sin is a stain. Wrongdoing is a stain. And nothing unclean can be in the presence of God. In Jesus Christ, you are cleansed of that uncleanness. It's his robe of righteousness. You're still stupid and foolish and funky, but it's all been forgiven. And that's not a license to sin, as some may say. Oh, I'm glad I'm saved. Now I can go out and sin. If you think that, I really doubt you've been saved. You said some words, you did some action, but you did not have a bold and life-changing relationship start with Jesus Christ. John 14, 26 to 27. He says, now, so you don't need to do this yourself now. Well, I read the Bible, it doesn't work. That's because it's you reading something spiritual, trying to do it naturally. You can't do it. It has to be you dying to your ideas, dying to your feelings, dying to your emotions, dying to your desires. And it's not a crummy life. I do not walk around going, oh, I can't do this. All the things I used to do that were stained and dirty and foolish and ended up nowhere. Oh, I can't party and I can't drink and I can't blah, 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 blah. No, my life is full. I mean, I run when my feet don't hurt now. You know, I hike. I have a wonderful family. I have the most awesome family in the whole world. I have the most awesome church and friends. And oh my gosh, when I wake up and I can see the sun and I breathe the air, those things are different to me. They are filling. They are life. And I never would have known that had Jesus not saved me.
Amen.
And it's for all of you. But I don't have to do this alone. Memorizing the scriptures is nice, but God says, be an effective doer, not just a hearer of the word. And in John 14:26, he says, but the helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things. And this is something else, and he'll bring it to your remembrance, all that I said to you. So I don't have to worry about, oh, what if I forget to do this? And I used to do that when I first came to know the Lord. I was 30 years old. I never read the Bible in my life. I was, oh my gosh, what if I forget to do this? What if I don't do that? So, oh my God, what if I die before this? And the Lord just calmed me down and said, it's me, not you. All you need to do is step by step and day by day, because that's all you got, sweetheart. Day by day. You can do this. You can do what God says 24 hours at a time. He said, okay, I just have one day. That's it. I can do it. And part of that, I'm going to be sleeping. Okay. I can do this one day. And then the next day, should God grant you life, you get up and you go, you know, I can do it again. You coming through me is my new you. That's what it is. That is what it is. Don't let me rule today in every conversation, every thought, every action, everything at work, everything, no matter what I'm doing. I ask that you rule and come through me today. And that's what he says. He will teach you and he'll bring it to remembrance. So, then he says, peace. All these people praying for peace and inner peace. It's false. Because you still got disputes at home. It's false. You still, your peace is false. You still have your financial ailments. It's going to dog you. So many people I found that who are at peace, if they are not in the Lord and they're at peace, it's because usually they have blocked everything out and they're just not letting it getting in the way of their day. They still have a crummy family, a crummy life, and a rotten financial situation. They still got crummy health. They still got crummy everything. But they're, Now, if you have the peace of God, that's the peace that surpasses all understanding. And what that means is when everything falls apart, like it does for the Christian, like everybody else, because you're a human in a cursed body, on a cursed earth, living with a whole bunch of people that don't believe in God. Yeah, you're going to have things go wrong. But when they do, there's this strange thing inside of you. Wow. This is all wrong, but I don't do what I did before. I don't feel like I felt before God. Wow. I am going to come to you and say, show me how to get through this. Show me what it is that I must do. I will let you lead. I'm going to let, I know the car is going, the car of my life is going 200 miles an hour, but I am going to let go of that steering wheel. That is really strange for everyone. I don't care if you love God 1,000 years. That's going to be really hard and really strange to do. But we have to do it. But he says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives. If you're angry, strike the wall, hit a pillow. It does not change your anger. It only changes your behavior. And outwardly, people will think everything's good, and you're still stained with that foul anger. God says if you have anger in your heart, you might as well have murdered. It's the same. He says, let not your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful. And in Romans, now I previously marked these in my scripture, so I'm going to go way ahead of you to get to these. So Romans 12, verse 2. And do not be conformed to this world. Boy, I'll tell you, what a message for today's youth, especially the youth. Do not be conformed to this world. Do not be conformed to this world. Just because a majority of people are doing it doesn't make it right. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by what? The renewing of your mind, that you may prove what the will of God is. And what is the will of God? That which is good, acceptable, and perfect. See, some people have what they do is good, but it's not acceptable or perfect. Some people have good and acceptable, but it's not perfect. See, that perfect thing is the key. Only perfection can come from God. I'm not saying you can't do your math paper perfectly. I'm not saying that. Some of our students here, you have to do your work. That perfection, that completeness that we really long for, that's going to really bring peace within and all over, if it ever, everyone would pay attention to it, is the peace that comes from God. And then in Jeremiah 29:11, Jeremiah 29:11, and that gives us more direction in that 29:11. Well, I'll tell you, this really, you got to sit back if you want to have the new you and you want to let God rule, because we're talking about you crucifying the flesh and letting God rule. He says, for I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for your welfare and not for calamity. To give you a future and a hope. Well, I'll tell you, that has come back to my mind so many times and truly has given me encouragement as well as comfort. Yes, Lord, you have a plan for me. It was very, very, very difficult for me to lay aside nursing when God said to lay aside nursing. It was very, very difficult, of the same difficulty to lay aside the military. And not that those things were bad. It just that God was bringing me in a different direction that I did not know. He did not tell me ahead of time what he was going to be doing with me. And if 45 years ago anyone would have said to me that I would be called to a ministry and that I would be preaching the word of God, I'd have just bought another round at the bar. You know what I'm saying? We don't know. See, God just took that which was broken. He says, watch what I can do. I was broken. I was against God in my ignorance. Not so much maliciousness and evil, but ignorance. And he waded through it. He helped me change my poopy diaper. And we're standing next to people all have these spiritually poopy diapers. And we're going to have to be willing to go through that stench until the point that those diapers get changed. And they get a clean diaper on and they get to walk with the Lord.
Amen.
In him, you're the new you. Did you ever notice there's a very wide gulf between the Christ-likeness that we desire, that new you, and your actual self? I go, yes, Lord. Laziness, selfishness, uncleanness, triviality, impatience. I mean, on and on and on. There's a list in Galatians 5, if you want to look it up, the deeds of the flesh. But thank you, Lord, that we can be encouraged, and especially in some of the following scriptures. In Romans 8:1, I tell you, this was a deliverance for me. Romans 8:1 really helped me when I first came to know the Lord, because God was cleaning up my life, and I wasn't doing some of the things I was doing previously. And I was so afraid. I said, God, what if I fall back into some of those things and I die in that moment that I'm doing the wrong things? Oh, God, help me. I don't want to, but sometimes, what if I do? That old devil loved it, that I was in turmoil over goodness. I was in turmoil over wanting. He loved it, because when you're in turmoil, the wind is blowing, everything's running inside of you, and you can't even hear from God. And I said, oh, God, please help me. And I just happened to open up the Bible. I do not advise that you just play Bible roulette, because you may open to the part that says, eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow you die, thinking it's a command, and it's not. It was a warning. But I opened it up, and I read at the tail end, it opened up to Romans 7. And Paul was crying out the same thing I was. And he was saying, God, the very thing I want to do, I don't. And the very thing I don't want to do, I do. Who shall save me from the body of this death? And I go, yes, God, that's exactly what I'm saying. Help me. And then I read Romans 8:1, and this is going to help you be the new you. Because it's going to take some of that guilt and some of that condemnation away that the adversary loves to have us dwell in. And it says in Romans 8:1, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Not just no condemnation, everyone get there, whatever. There's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. God's mercy and compassion covered me when I wasn't with him. And now there's no condemnation for me even when I sin, because he realizes coming from brokenness, weakness, or whatever foolishness or deception or anything. It's not coming. That's why Paul could say, listen, when I sin, it's not me sinning. It's that nature within me. He wasn't giving excuse to his sin. He was saying, everything within me loves you and cries out to you. I've given myself to you. You own me. But I still do this stupid stuff. But you should be doing less and less of the stupid stuff. There's a little sign out here at CJ's Bar. It's a little tavern that you see. You have to make a turn there off of Line Ball. And everyone sees it. There's a great little sign there that says, this year, let's make better bad decisions. Ah, there you go. That's what the encouragement. Now, they're speaking from death. But I'm just saying, God understands your bad decisions. You should be growing in less bad decisions, less bad thoughts. You see what I'm saying? You should be able to see the growth. And sometimes you can't because you're in the forest. But those outside of you can start seeing some differences. We have been here, golly, I have been here since 1977. Someone else can add that up. That's a long time at this one ministry. Because God has nailed my feet here for his reasons.
5 years.
It's been, oh jeez. It's been a long, long time. And I have seen such marvelous spiritual growth. Many people who are not here, they came here, God ministered to them over, not just a week, not just one prayer session. weeks, months, years. It's usually, the average is 2, 3, 4, 5 years of God's ministering, getting rid of spirits, getting new habits, getting things in there, showing them the right way, and then they become strengthened in the Lord, and then you move. And okay, whatever, Lord. But they're God's. He sent the apostles out. He never kept everybody in the same room. It's the same thing here. Now read in Romans 6:11. Romans 6:11. Even so, consider yourselves to be dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ. Let those words sink in. By His Spirit, you can be dead to sin, because it tells us in the Scripture, if you are led by the Spirit, you cannot sin. I love that Scripture, which tells me every time I sin, I am not led by the Spirit. I have given in to the world, the flesh, or the devil, not to God. Give yourself over more to the awareness of God. That's what that new you is about. That teachable spirit, that continual newness in Christ, not clinging to the old ways, transformed by the renewing of your mind, increasing the attentiveness to God. And that's what it's trying to tell us here in 6:11. Consider yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ. Even when the first thought, the first feeling comes, say, no, I reject that. I'm not going there. You take me where I need to go, Lord. And then in 2 Corinthians 5:17. What's that? It's a powerful one. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man is in Christ, not in church, not in ministry, not feeding the poor, although those are all good things, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things passed away, and behold, new things have come. Every single thing I just told you about, the new you, the formula for the new you, has come from God's Scriptures. This is so, so powerful. There's no condemnation if you're in Christ. You're dead to sin, but alive to Christ. You're a new creation. Guess what? The new you isn't you at all. But rather you letting Jesus Christ come forth while you die to yourself. Think about what God did. And we're going to finish with this. He debased himself to become human. I think on that and I go, whoa. The one who knows all things gave it up to become a baby human. He had to learn. This guy, the God that knows everything. He had to learn to walk, talk, eat, and get potty trained. Whoa. The God who's all present exchanged that for two legs that were limited to the distance that could cover in a day. Oh. The God who was all powerful exchanged that for muscles strong enough to hammer a nail but too weak to fight a lion. And the God who created and looks over a bazillion galaxies at once. He sees the Hubble telescopes just out there now discovering things he's been looking at from the beginning of his creation. Whoa! That God who created all that exchanged that for a mere glance that was unable to see over a building in front of him. Whoa. He did all that for you. Keep that in mind. Could you at least die to yourself for him? Only you can answer that. You can't do it all at once. This is the one day at a time, bit by bit. If so, in Christ, you will be the new year. I mean, the new you this new year. In Christ, you'll be the new you in this new year. And your portrait, what you're going to look like, your portrait is going to look like this. From Galatians 5, 22 to 23. Your portrait's going to look like love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. That way you can keep the I want to lose weight resolution, you know. Self-control. God bless you and a happy new year. Amen.